Welcome back to Time to Kill. We got a guest on today, but your usual hosts, Luke Pope, TJ DeFalco, and Josh, might butcher this, Eisenberg?
Close. Eisenberg.
Eisenberg.
Like Breaking Bad.
Okay. Oh, what a great top 10. Actually, I'd take that back. Top show ever.
I was going to say, at least, I would say 10 is ambitious.
I would say Game of Thrones because it just falls into my just, you know, something that I would watch is up there. Okay. But Breaking Bad, just the writing and the acting. And
oh, it's for sure a top three. The story. I had a poll on my Instagram just the other day about what the best show of all time was. And Breaking Bad, The Sopranos, and Game of Thrones got the most votes.
Yep.
Of course.
I see that. I haven't watched it, but I've heard only great things.
I'm in the middle of it right now, and it's changing my life. I use a lot more hand motions now.
Yeah, you got to use your hands to talk, yeah.
And I'm a lot more aggressive to everybody that I talk to.
That's the most important lessons to learn from a show full about Italians. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. Hand motions and overall aggression.
100%.
So, so we invited you on because you are a volleyball player.
I am.
And you played volleyball collegiately. Did you play in high school?
Yeah, I played in high school. I'm from New York, though. So, like, you know, high school volleyball's.
Right. I knew you were from New York. I just didn't know like, I've never seen, or I've probably recruited in New York for a little bit, but it was like club, not really like high school. So.
Oh, I was going to say, I played for LIVBC.
Okay, nice.
In high school. And we were decent, at least in my high school days. I think we got like top 10 at nationals 1 year, which is like a big deal for an East Coast team.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Everyone's like, wow. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And then you played at Sacred Heart, right?
I did. Yeah.
Nice. How's that?
Yeah.
Loved it?
Love is a strong word. I loved the people that I played with, and I love the people that I live with. As far as like volleyball was concerned, there was a lot to be desired from that. But honestly, at the same time, it was like such a good experience for me to kind of just be like a guy playing on a team that has no expectations or anything like that and kind of get my name out there anyway.
Yeah,
I thought I was coming from New York. I was playing, man, in high school as an outside hitter, and I'm only 5'8". Like,
You were killing it. Don't lie to everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was an outside hitter, and then I was a setter on my high school team. So it was like, cool. And then I was like, you have to play libero in college. I was devastated. but, you know, so it was a good experience from like you get to be the underdog. You kind of just roll up to any big game you want, and just you could just play well. And people are going to be shocked and surprised, and you know, it worked out pretty well. I got, you know, invited to the USA gym. I got to meet guys like, you know, TJ, and I live with Kyle, and that wouldn't have happened if I didn't at least get to play at Sacred Heart and just, you know, do my best while I was there.
100%.
Nice.
Do you think there was a certain mindset that you had and coming, you kind of knew the kind of vibe about the club volleyball and a little bit of like the college, like you said, exposure and stuff like that. Do you think there was like a certain mindset that you had playing in high school and then looking to get recruited for college, or was it like a kind of like just playing it because you love the sport?
Yeah, so I had always played lacrosse growing up, and okay. Like where I'm from, lacrosse is kind of like lax. Volleyball on the West Coast. Yeah, lax. I was a lax bro. I had long hair. It was sick.
Dude, tight.
Yes.
Yeah, it was dope. But so where I'm from, volleyball or lacrosse was like, you know, top 10 Division I colleges are showing up to like a random Wednesday game.
Yeah.
Like at your high school to just like sit, you know, it's like, oh shit, like this is the real deal. And I had always been better at lacrosse, but I liked volleyball more. So I had tried to like, you know, spend as much time as I could playing club volleyball to get my name out there and go and play in all these big tournaments and do my best. We were going out to, you know, like the ASC, playing out in California, playing nationals. And I was like, you know, I'm walking around and these libero's aren't very good. And I'm like, I'm flying around, you know, like I am the kid who like will run head first into the pole. just to like save any ball, even if we're winning like 23-5. Like it wouldn't matter. And I'm like, I'm not seeing any of these kids do it.
Yeah.
And but nobody gave a shit. Like no coach in the country could give two shits about me and or my teammates. Like they were just like, cool, man, we don't care. And it was like pretty devastating, honestly, like going into it, because I knew that I had like such a passion for volleyball, and it was kind of just like, I was getting a lot of looks for lacrosse, and I was like, this is cool, but it wasn't it for me. You know, like I loved playing lacrosse, but the thought of going to practice every day, like sent shivers down my spine. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And man, I went like a long time just being told like, no, you know, talk to this coach. And he's like, you're kind of small. And I was like, but I play libero. And he was like, ah, can't do it. So it was tough for me. Like, you know, I used club, like I cut up video. I sent every coach in the entire country video, like, you know, every week, trying to just be like, maybe you'll see something, you know, that someone else didn't see. And it was really, really tough for me, like mentally. I've always been like pretty strong mentally. And that was like a really low point as far as like doing everything I could during the tournaments, knowing about the college recruiting process. And I was doing everything right. And I just wasn't getting any looks. So I almost decided to play lacrosse in college.
Dang.
'Cause I was like, you know what? I'm getting looks. My senior year of high school, I was a All-American lacrosse player. And I was like, cool. Like, I guess I can go and do that. Like I had a specialized position in lacrosse, just like I have in volleyball. And I had just like, you know what? Fuck it. I can just go and do this and I'll go play for some big school and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Then, you know, like randomly while I was kind of talking with lacrosse coaches, I like randomly got an email from Sacred Heart, told me to come to campus. I was like, man, these guys are so bad though. Like, do I really want to be on a team that's just terrible? And they were playing Loyola on my visit. And it was like the year Loyola won the first Natty. And I was like, they're going to get fucking stomped. They're going to get stomped. I'm sorry. Can I curse on here?
No, yeah. I was just going to say, Evan, let's take a second to
actually, no, you're said not our allowed
first
to.
F-bomb on the podcast. Can we get a round of applause?
Ever? All right. Can we get a round?
PJ, our master editor, will go back and just – it'll be seamless. It'll sound okay, like
perfect. Perfect. Yeah, my bad. I totally did not even
know that. No, you're good. Let it out.
But yeah, just to like finish that real quick, it was like, you know, I went, I was like, wow, they're going to get stomped by Loyola. And Sacred Heart won the first set. I was like, all right, they can't be that bad. Like they're not great, but this team's going to win the national championship. And even if they were playing, you know, half-assed, we still won. So I committed on spot and I was like, you know what? I get to play volleyball. I get to be D1 and maybe I can make a name for myself from this little rinky dink school in Connecticut.
Yeah.
There you go. That's awesome. That's what it's about right there. That's awesome.
There's something about volleyball, man. I was like, as soon as I started playing it, I never looked back. Like I was just like, this is the pace of it. Like there's like the team camaraderie part of it. Like you can't just be like one guy.
Yep.
I don't know. It was really the pace for me. And like somebody could hit the ball really hard and all you have to do is have an angle and then the ball just goes up. Like it's weird to me, like that you can just be like, nah, that was easy. Even though somebody did like everything they could to get a point. And it's like, yeah, nah, that was fun. But
bro, volleyball is, in my opinion, like the ultimate team sport. And I've always been like a big team guy. So it's been like, it's one of those things that you just get like five or six guys that, you know, you're starting with, you're playing with. And it's, there's just like something about playing with those guys that brings you together so easily. Yeah. And I just never really felt that playing any other sport. Like, man, I played every sport under the sun, but I never felt as close as I did with volleyball players.
Right.
You know, it's just like, and if you're like playing beach volleyball, it's like, man, your partner, that is your guy.
Yeah.
It's your homie.
You know? That's your guy. And it's like, I remember playing lacrosse and it was like, we're all on the same team. We all got the same mission. And I remember getting concussions in practice because guys were killing me, running me over.
Yeah. Nice.
Like, because it was just like, hey, that guy's going for my spot and I'm going to physically ruin your life.
Yeah.
Jesus. And it was just like, it was, you know, in volleyball, you can get, you can get like fired up with your teammates, or you can get like aggressive. But at the end of the day, it's like, man, we're playing volleyball. We're hitting a ball over the net. Like,
yeah.
It's never gonna reach that point of like,
right,
you know, like fighting or separation within a team, because at the end of the day, like, guys need me and I need them, and you know, we all need each other. You know, can't score right. without a setter. You know, can't score points without the hitter. Probably tough to pass without your libero. Like, it's all interconnected. So yeah. At the end of the day, I feel like no matter what, your volleyball makes people put all their differences aside to work together for a goal, no matter how much you dislike them off the court.
Right. But then if you don't do that, you just end up losing games.
Exactly.
And nobody wants to lose.
Exactly. And that,
if you
that's
don't, you lose. And
any other sport, you can be like, hey, I'm just going to take the ball and you're never going to get it, and I'm going to do my best. And it's like, okay, like, good luck.
Good luck without me
like
setting.
Volleyball, like, yeah, good luck. Good luck without a setter. Or if the hitter's just like, I'm going to stand on the ground and roll the ball over the net. Good luck.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not going to block anymore as a middle. Just yeah. like, ah,
I give up.
I'm good. Yeah. This guy is being a dick to me. I'm just not going to play anymore. I'm just like, all right, this is going to be fun trying to dig the middle of the court.
Yeah. We'll try our best.
But
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So now after Sacred Heart, Josh, you are now playing, for those of you guys who don't know, Josh is a libero for a professional team in Israel, in Tel Aviv. And I have no idea what the name of your club is. Do you know the name of your club?
I do. The name of my club is Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Maccabi Tel Aviv. Okay. Yes. So he plays libero overseas. And what is your second year?
This is my third year.
Third year. So you're a year older than I am. Okay. So what was your first impression when you first got to play overseas compared to the college game?
Yeah. So from a volleyball perspective, I definitely thought it was a little bit faster paced. Guys are a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. Kind of the things that you would be prepared for. You know, you're like, all right, we're moving up. Things are going to get a little bit tougher from like a playing perspective. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I don't think anyone really can prepare you for is like showing up to a gym and realizing that like people aren't speaking the same language as you on the court. You know, and I that was like one of the things where I was like, what drill are we doing? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And you kind of just have to like be like, all right, I know what volleyball is, and I'm just here to do my best. And that was like one of the first things that in my first year when I got overseas, like my friends like, how is it? And I was like, bro, it's super weird not hearing any English. You don't think about how nice it is to just know what's going on. Instead, you're just staring blankly all the time. But, you know, from a playing perspective, it's been super fun. I feel like as a player, I've gotten a lot better being able to play with higher level players, you know, as you hope. Mm. And I feel like the practice style is much different. Like, you don't really work on too many skills. Like, you don't really break things down that much as like we did in college. It's like, hey, we're going to work on this today. We're going to work on that. It's a lot of, is everybody warm? Cool. We're going 6-on-6 and we're just going to get better as a team.
Yeah.
And that was like a big shock to me. I was like, can we work on just like serve receive or, you know, just some one-on-one defense? And yeah, you in the game in the 6-on-6. It's like, okay. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure that's how we get better, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always like, because they say that the practices get simpler as they get old, like as you get more into the professional, or I don't know where I heard that, but I've heard that. I don't know about they. I don't know who they is. But
hey, who's they?
But I always assume when I, as soon as I heard that, I think it was, I don't know. Maybe it was a book. It was probably, I don't know, Dr. Seuss. Maybe, I don't know. But anyways, but I always assume like you just do serve and pass and then just play. Is that like kind of, that's just,
I mean, yeah, like that's pretty much it. I don't know how it is for you, TJ, but that's like, maybe some days we'll have like a serve and pass in the morning, so our night practice won't involve a serve and pass, which is great. But at the end of the day, it's like, all right, is everybody warmed up? We're going to play some tennis. We're going to get 20 passing reps. Cool. Get out there. Let's play.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And I mean, it makes sense. Like, you'd hope that like you don't bring in a guy who just played in college for 40 years and it's like, okay, keep your hands together. But but also it's like we want to reinforce, you know, there's like some balance. Like I'm not asking to, you know, be told how to pass, but just, you know, a little bit of reinforcement here and there. If I make three bad passes in a row, maybe just, hey, here's what you did. Here's a suggestion.
Yeah.
You know, but it's very much like you're an adult, be an adult, and here's your job. Like, this is your job. We pay you to come here and do what you're supposed to do. And we don't really care how you do it.
Nope.
And I feel like that was a big, big difference, like going overseas, whereas it's like in college, they're like, hey, did you do your homework? Hey, we have practice this time. And here they're just like, this is the schedule. Like, don't
figure it out.
Be late. We'll find you. Like, we'll take money from your paycheck.
Yeah. You won't, yeah. We just won't out. Pay you. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, figure it out. Like, are you hungry? There's a grocery store. Good luck.
Yeah.
Like, I know you don't know how to read, but you're fine.
Is there freedom in that? Like, just like, hey, just come and play good volleyball. Or is it, I mean, now that you've done it for 3 years, do you think that there's some like, you know, I got confidence in my abilities and I'm going to show up and just play some volleyball every day and I'll get better on my, like watching film and whatever.
Yeah.
Or
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, I think the freedom to just be like, hey, you know, not babied, not anything, to just say like, hey, this is your job and we trust you as our libero, as anyone, to go out there and do your job to the best of your abilities. And I think that part of it is great because you get to just focus on playing and focus on, you know, growing yourself as a player. But at the same time, it's like everybody has like off days. Everyone has tough times where it's nice to have a little bit of guidance. And I think that's like one thing that's definitely missing. Like, you know, you could have a couple off days here and there, like, and it's totally normal, especially, you know, if you're an American living overseas, it just happens. And I think it would be a lot more beneficial if coaches could realize that, or there could be more of an open dialogue between player and coaches overseas to say like, hey, yeah, I am struggling these past couple practices. Can we talk about some things that I might be able to do, some guidance? Like, you know, why did I shank a bunch of balls the last 3 days? Like, what is there something you're seeing? Because I think a lot of these coaches feel nervous to harp on things when they like know we're adults and they know that we know what we're doing and they don't want to have to fight with adults. You know, like if you have a 30-year-old guy, you don't want to be like telling him what to do. But at the same time, like you're still the coach.
Especially if you don't speak the same language, you're like, I want this to get lost in translation, but you need to do better or whatever.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And it's also, you know, it's one of those things. I think like setting clear expectations up front is really good. And then maybe if there's like a string of a couple days where you're just not meeting expectation or things seem to be off, like coaches overseas should feel more okay being like, hey, let's talk about how to like get you back on track because these are the expectations that we set. And I think that's one thing that's definitely colleges do much, much better. Like, yeah. I feel like the coaches are much more involved in their players, just like overall well-being, which then leads to their court, you know, performance being better.
For sure.
Whereas here it's like, you're at work. Great. You had a bad day at work. Well, good luck. Have a good, better day at work tomorrow. And if it goes on for 5 days, you know, we're going to talk about maybe firing you. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's definitely some freedom, but also it's still nice as an athlete to have people around you who care. And I think that's helped me a lot this year to have like some guys with me, you know, from the States to just kind of like bounce ideas off of and be able to vent when we want to vent. Sorry, TJ.
No, I agree 100%. That's, I mean, that from my perspective, that's a lot of that is 100% true. for me, I think like you said, I think there could be a little bit more balance in terms of these guys. Sure, are professionals. They're getting paid to do their job and they're getting paid to do the thing that they're being hired for. But the coaches and the people around them could see that they're probably learned how to do that wrong for the last 10 years or whatever our opposite right now has no idea how to play defense. He is a 27-year-old man playing on the national team of Brazil and has no idea how to play defense. Like at that point, with the high level coach we have, we're in the best league in Italy. There should be some advice given to be like, not even advice, to be like, dude, what are you doing? Yeah. Figure it out. Use your eyeballs. See where the blockers are going and set up in the other spot. Like it's they've been taught wrong their entire career because he's 6'9" and hits
and
the absolute crap out of the ball. So they don't care.
Yeah.
It's like if you're paying the guy to just kill a ball, that doesn't really help the rest of the guys when we have to cover him on defense. Like it just that's something that doesn't really compute with me. But then again, like you said, the coaches here are more about, you guys ready to play? Okay, let's go. So I think that there could be a much better balance of like, because in college, every single thing, it was in the culture here at Long Beach. Like if you saw even a player, if you saw something like technically not, you're not going to bash the guy, like, what the heck are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And try to, you know, beat him down. It's like, dude, this is what you did. And if our system is, we're trying to do this, just letting you know, like just a heads up.
Yep.
And there's zero feedback between players here.
Exactly.
Is there systems though? Like, there's got to be some kind of system. You guys got to know whose balls are what in certain situations, right? Or you guys is it literally just playing?
The literal only system we have is on gross free balls. Middle, if the front row middle goes slides over to two if the opposite is in the back row. That's literally only system.
Yeah,
that's pretty much the only thing we've talked about as well. the other thing, which is actually funny because it like relates to your oppo, it's like we have a guy and he is 39 years old and he's our 01, played for the Cuban national team like his whole life, was like World League top attacker in like 2003.
Nice.
Like the man is timeless. He is shredded beyond belief. Like he's a genetic freak. He jumps 50 inches, but he has no concept of how to pass. So they literally put this team together knowing that I was the libero and JT Hatch, who is basically libero / outside hitter, is our other outside. And they were just, and we got here and they were like, so we're going to pass two. And it's like, okay, great. I understand. Like we get a game, maybe with some tough serves, like we're going to put him out, but we're not going to teach him how to pass like in the next 8 months. Like we don't want to help.
Yeah.
And there were so many times in practice where our coach is like, take him out. And I'd be like, but don't you want him to practice? And I would always say that. I'm like, he can get reps. Like if he shanks the ball right now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Cause then we like got to a game. The only game we lost actually so far this season was like, you know, in November or whatever. And the team, they were all like tossing hybrid serves. So we couldn't take up two because they were going as jump serves and then hitting floats. And it's like the one time we tried to go two on one of those, he still hit a jump serve. And we were like, we can't pass two because it's impossible. He has to pass. And then I was like, and you see the last 4 months when he didn't pass any balls? Now we're in trouble.
Yeah. He's got zero reps. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like,
just at least take a lane and just have him pass to like whatever, like 8 feet off the net. Just at least that.
And that the thing is, he's like 6'1" and he can hit over Kyle. Yeah. Like him and Kyle are touching the ball like near the same exact peak. And this man is 39 years old and like 6'1".
Jesus
Christ. So it doesn't matter like where we pass the ball because you just give it to him and he's just like, floats up there, triple block, like, okay, easy, like four. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But it's like, so like, why can't we just keep him in? Like my job is so unbelievably stressful because the entire season is riding on JT and my ability to cover the entire court. And each time we play these good teams, they're just like finding new little holes to put the ball like where it's toughest for us. Like the first time we pass two, it's like, oh, we don't really know what to do. It's kind of tough to like, what's a good place? But then it's like by the middle of the finals, we're going to be playing that team like the eighth time. And it's like, they're probably going to know where it's toughest for us to pass.
Yeah.
It's like, and then like our whole season is riding on like our ability to fight off our hardest job, like the hardest thing in the game. Because we just decided to neglect this one guy and be like, jump and hit. Don't worry, honey.
Just hit.
It'll be fun.
Clock, be great. Jump and hit.
You can have the little bearded Kyle on man. The outside. Kyle plays better outside than this guy. Have this guy just play opposite.
Yeah, he should just pass and play opposite.
We might have Kyle sneak up there every once in a while. You never know. We got lots of tricks up our sleeves.
Yeah. Kyle played outside for about a month our senior year.
Yeah.
Didn't work so
well. Yeah, he'll step. Yeah, yeah. No, I can see how that's – we're better with him on the opposite, I think.
Yeah. Need more reps.
Both yeah. guys hit better from their respective positions. JT and I are figuring it out as we go day by day.
Yeah, you guys got this. It's in the bag.
Yeah, we got it. It's no problem. It's in the bag. No problem. We're fine. Everything's fine.
Professional two-man serve receive.
That's yeah, cool. my friends were like, oh, hey, look, you do the same thing you did at Sacred Heart. And I was like, yeah, the serves are just way worse. And the Mikasa ball is a piece of shit to pass.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could be fired if I don't pass well. Is like, instead of like at Sacred Heart, it's just like, all right, well.
We didn't do well.
Good try.
Yeah. Oh, well.
We'll get them next week. Hit the showers.
Yeah, hit the showers. You'll be fine.
Hey. Oy, man, that's funny. So have you played for that club for 3 years now, or where else have you played?
I haven't. It's actually interesting. So I had played here my first year. I had come and signed here because it was like, you know, it's tough as a libero going overseas. And if you couldn't tell by my entire name, I'm Jewish. And so one thing about Israel is that if you're Jewish, you can become a citizen of the country. And it's like pretty easy. You just like fill out some forms. You like, you know, send them some sort of proof that you're Jewish. Like, I don't know what I sent in for proof, but
they have it. Yeah.
But they got it. And I got citizenship. And when you become a citizen, there are like some benefits. Like they get you housing and you get money for like 6 months to just make sure you're not homeless. I didn't really need anything besides the extra money, because the club takes care of, you know, housing and health insurance and all those things. But, you know, it added some money to my paycheck my first year. So I was like, you know what? I'll sign. I'll become Israeli. What's the biggest, you know, what's the worst thing that happens?
Yeah. Don't you have to like enlist in the army though?
You don't.
Oh, okay.
I know that was like a big thing. Everyone was very nervous. But you don't, if as long as you're like, if you're coming voluntarily, like it's a fully volunteer thing.
Oh, nice.
If you are from here, you have to be in the army for 3 years.
Yeah.
So second year,
Gal Gadot did that, I think.
Gal Gadot, yeah, she was. Everyone here has been in the army. It's crazy. Like, kids are just walking around with massive machine guns every once in a while. You just see them like slung over their shoulders. They're like eating, you know, a pita, and they just got like a gun just hanging by their waist. And you're just like, oh,
okay,
it's not bloody.
But you know, it's kind of like their culture here, and everyone gets to go through the army. So they have a really good army here too. So which is comforting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so after I played here my first year, I went to Finland for my second year. I played for a club called Savovali, and we were balling, like super good. First place in league, things are going great. And you know, then Corona. So league canceled.
Yeah.
League canceled. All the bonuses we were all going to make, gone. And then this summer was kind of just like, you know, there's a team here, but they really can't offer you much money because they lost a lot of money from COVID and Barrows are not really getting paid. So I had like a couple offers in France for like, so basically for free, like I'd have to play for free. Yeah. Like I'd lose money on the proposition. And it was just like, I don't.
You're paying them as much to play volleyball there.
Right. As much as I want to play in France, and like, I don't think I could do that. And then, you know, my old team was like, hey, you know, we have money, because I honestly have no idea why, but they were like, we have more money than we had last season. And because I'm Israeli, they don't have to pay like the USA transfer fee for me. So they basically just like add that to my salary. And they're just like, yeah, we're also going to be signing, you know, JT Hatch. And I was like, great. You know, buddy of mine, we're going to live together. That makes my life easy.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and we're looking for an oppo. And I was like, okay, cool. And they were like, do you think Kyle Ensing would sign? And my first thought was like, no, no shot. I was like,
no, he won't actually.
And the thing is, I had only known Kyle for like maybe a month when I was out in Anaheim. We didn't know each other that well, but I was like, there's no way. You know, there's no way he comes here. And I was pretty close with the president from being here, you know, the first time. We talk a lot. And he was like, I don't know. We have a lot of money. Like, we have good money for him. And I was like, man, try it. I'm not going to call him. Like, you call him. You ask. Like, what do you want me to do?
They're like, you're American. Money? You call out Kyle Ensign. If you get Kyle Ensign, you get bonus.
Well, that was my whole thing. I was like, you know, if you want me to sign him, like, I need more money. Like, you want me to work as his agent? I want his 10% fee.
Yeah.
And
I know how much his agent's fee is. It's 10%. Thank you.
It's got to be 10. Yeah.
I'll do it.
So
I'll take
it. I was like, oh, whatever. And then like 3 days went by and I still hadn't like fully signed. JT had. And I was kind of just like waiting to see what they were doing with an oppo. And they were like, yeah, Kyle signed. Like no problem. And I was like, three Americans on one team? Like, can't beat that.
Right? Yeah, seriously.
And at the time, like early summer, Israel was doing phenomenally as far as coronavirus was concerned. Like, I had friends here from the first year. They were posting pictures. There were no masks. There was no mandates. There was nothing. And things looked like they were going to be great forever. So it was like, hey, we all get to play together. Tel Aviv is a super fun place. It's warm all the time. And coronavirus doesn't exist there. You know, lo and behold, the day we arrive in the country, they're like, it's closed forever. And
JK, LOL, close.
We gotcha. Those were fake videos. Those are from 4 years ago, idiot. But thankfully, like, we, you know, during, you know, it's been a tough year for everyone playing overseas. So thankfully we've had each other. We've had a good team. I mean, it's tough to make a bad team with the three of us, you know, right, together. Just pretty much putting any group of Americans together on any team, I think, bumps it up just based on like culture. You know, I think,
right,
I think the American culture for sports is just so much better than everywhere else.
Yep.
So you just push your teammates and you push kind of like the envelope a little bit. And even like coach and practice gets more fired up. And like when we get fired up, and it's like, it's fun to see, cause it's not just like one guy from America trying to just like put his will on you. It's like, there's three of us. So if all three of us are getting upset with something, like, there's a problem.
Yeah, right.
Because we all went to different colleges. We all got taught different things. But the one thing that remains consistent is we're from the same country and our culture is just better. You know? It is. Like, as far as sports are concerned, it just is.
Right. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I feel like the overseas, there's so much emphasis on just winning. It's just like, if you're winning, cool. If you're not winning, change everything.
Yeah.
And throw everything out. We need to do this all over again. Back to the drawing board.
Start over. Yeah. I think it's definitely one of those things that like overseas, they wait for your teeth to get kicked in before they actually change anything.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, some preemptive stuff. Like, hey, let's just have a bunch of really good practices so we can keep winning. It's just like, we're winning. Let's just see how long this will go. And then eventually it's going to come to a tipping point. Hopefully it's not in a big moment. And then we can reset after that.
Was it the same way in Finland?
Yeah, unfortunately, like it was a good culture, but at the same time, it was like, you know, we were winning a lot and it was just like, you know, practices. It was like, nobody's working that hard. Nobody's trying that hard. And then we went to the cup final. And we played against a team that we literally beat 4 days before. And then we played them in the cup final and they freaking spanked us.
Yeah.
Like 3-0. And it's like, man, why did we lose the regular season game and then win the bonus money? But instead we had to do the other way around. Nobody's happy. And then it's, you know, 2 weeks of every practice is like, you're getting yelled at. And it's like, guys, but the last month was terrible. Practice, like every practice was bad. But we were winning games because we were just like a little bit better from like a skill perspective.
Right. Talent got you wins.
Right. Right. Our talent's just getting us the W. Yeah. But it's like, why don't we just keep going up instead of just like staying kind of where we're at and just hoping that teams don't get better than us or get lucky, you know?
Right.
It's still tough.
Yeah. So we don't play as much Call of Duty anymore, but that's because you got your stuff together, man. You encouraged me to get my stuff together. You got your
really
seriously. Me
you got
too.
Your healthy eating, and it fires me up, man. It makes me like want to not heat up some frozen burritos or, you know, have a couple more beers like after I get home from practice or whatever. Like, just fires me up, man. I see it on your Instagram story, and I'm like, nah, I can drink some more water and make a healthier snack than whatever, like a quesadilla or something.
Oh, dude, honestly, that like warms my heart, because that's like, you know, basically, yeah, I don't play any Call of Duty anymore because I just like, and the new year hit, I was like, I need something to just occupy my time.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that like, I'd always been the guy that people were just like reaching out to for like some sort of like advice in health. I don't know why, but it was just like, Josh will know the answer.
Josh knows.
And you know, and it was like, all right, cool. Like it's nice. Like people reach out to me. And then I was like, you know, what's something that I could do? Like maybe reach more people, just kind of like put out, just, it's not that hard to be a little bit better every day. You know, I'm not asking for anyone to be Ronnie Coleman. We're not asking for anyone to just like uproot their life and only eat chicken and broccoli, but it's like most of us can do a little bit better, you know? So I was just like, you know what, maybe I'll start this, like, you know, this health and fitness page. It's called Joshy Fitness, shameless plug.
Yeah, go follow it. Absolutely. Go follow it. Yeah. If you're listening to this,
go follow.
Worth it.
And, you know, I kind of went into it with like the intention of, I'm just going to try to give away as much like free, like nutrition and fitness advice that I know that I think could be beneficial for people, in the most like judgment-free, very positive and very simple way, you know, because I feel like Instagram and just like social media is so filled with like, you got to change everything about yourself if you want to get better. And it's really negative, and it just makes people feel so self-conscious about where they're at in their life.
Where you're at is not good. You need
right. Like you're doing bad. Things are bad for you right now.
Yeah.
Pay me money and they'll get better. And it's just like, it's bullshit, because at the end of the day, it's like, man, like not everybody wants to have like 12 pack abs or be like, you know, a supermodel. Everyone just wants to be like, feel a little bit better about themselves, or just like learn a little bit too. It's like, and it's honestly, it's not that hard. And I figured, I'm kind of like a nerd with all this stuff, and I like to look it up and I like to research it. So I might as well just like give it to people.
Yeah.
Like give them really small, like nutritional advice, little reminders here and there, just to like, hey, have you been sitting on your ass for 8 hours today? Like maybe get up and go for a 10-minute walk. Like it's not going to hurt you. Or, you know, maybe opt out, you know, go at 2 beers instead of 4 beers. I'm not saying like uproot your entire life. Right.
Yeah.
But man, it's like, it's sick to hear that, you know, that you're seeing it and you're taking a little bit to heart. And that's kind of the whole tempo of the page so far has been just like, you know, we can all just be a little bit better. It's been a tough year for everyone. I realize that. And most people are just looking for a place to start. And I'm trying to just give them a very simple guideline, very simple outlines of, hey, you can start here. It's not going to be by tomorrow. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to have 6-pack abs in a day. You're not going to have a totally new life. It's like, but each day, if you work on yourself a little bit more, it gives you a little bit more momentum to work on yourself even more, because it's almost like you don't want to break that chain.
Right.
It's
like snowballs.
Snowballs. Like, man, I've been crushing it for 20 days now. And then it's like, you know, the opportunity arises to kind of be an asshole to yourself. And it's like, do I want to be?
Yeah.
Because I kind of like where I'm going. I kind of like this like development. Right. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah,
it's awesome, man.
It's incredible. Because I followed you from the beginning, along with all the process and all that stuff. And I think I've asked you this question before, but what has this process and kind of like journey done for your mental health?
Yeah, man. I mean, we've talked about it, but honestly, dude, like December, the holidays, it's super tough to be overseas. And I honestly was falling apart a little bit. I can't lie. Like I had no interest in playing. We were having no matches. So it was just like a month and a half of practice.
And I was kind of just like, I didn't know like what, like, do I have a purpose? Like, I'm not even playing games. I'm just going and practicing for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a day. And that's it. And playing video games. And for a couple of days, it's like, wow, what a nice life. But at the end of the day, I was like, I don't really feel like I'm contributing anything to society. And I felt like I could be. Yeah. And so I was on the fence for probably a month about the page, just, you know, wow, maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. I don't know how people will like it. I don't know what I'm supposed to post about. I don't know how, pictures, videos. And then I remember that first day I posted, like February 1st, it's only been a little bit over a month now. And I was like, I posted like three things, like bang, bang, bang. And it just like, I started, my DMs just like opened up and people were like, they saw the two videos and like the picture that I posted and they were like, is this the kind of stuff you're going to post? Like just very, very basic nutrition advice, like to help people.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, like that's pretty much it. And they were like, this amazing. Like, this is the best, this is what I needed. Like you almost like came to us at a time, like 1 month after New Year's resolutions, it's like, you know, a tough time for people.
Ah, so it was a marketing strategy.
Honestly, I wish I thought about it like that. I wish I thought about it like that. I didn't think about it for a few days after. I was like, oh wow, what a good time. But I got like all these messages like right away from people that I went to high school with and people that I've never met before, just saying like, this is really cool. Like I'm really excited to see like where you go with this. And I remember almost immediately just feeling like an entirely new person. Like every day I woke up after I made that first post, I woke up like 7 a.m. just jumping out of my bed being like, I'm going to go for a walk. I have to listen to this podcast and then I'm going to go study what I'm going to post about today because these people are counting on me and I need to do it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was like, I'd spend like 3-4 hours like studying some subject. I put together like a 1 minute video, you know, that I don't even edit because I don't know what I'm doing. And I would post it. And then I would go and like practice. And all of a sudden, like volleyball felt better. And I felt like, wow, I'm having fun. Like I haven't had fun in 2 months playing volleyball. And I realized it was like, because when I'm not playing volleyball, I have this other thing that I'm devoting my time, devoting my energy to, so that I can almost be like a kid again. I can just be like, that's like my job over there. Cause I, you know, I'm on the computer and I'm researching articles and doing this stuff. And then like, I kind of just get to be a kid and have fun and worry less about like volleyball being my job. Yeah. And since then, like mentally, man, I feel tremendous. And I feel like, you know, I speak with maybe 5 to 8 people a day about just like helping them like build a nutrition plan, building like kind of like what they should be doing with their days, how they should be structuring stuff. And I've never felt so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, like selfishly, it makes me feel great to help these people. But at the same time, it's like the only reason I feel good is because they're taking the little bits of advice that I do give and they're implementing it into their own lives and they're seeing benefits. And, you know, I just got a text today from this guy that I hopped on the phone with like 3 days after I made my page. He was like, how much is it for your coaching, all this stuff? And I was like, Mero, it's totally free. Like, I'm not here to like make any money. I have a job for now. Like maybe in a year I'll start charging people if I get good at this or if it turns into something. And he was like, okay, can we talk? And I was like, yeah, sure. We hopped on the phone. I wrote him like a big plan for him to hit, like, you know, like this is what you should be going for and stuff like that. And we just kind of kept in contact over Instagram. And he texted me today and he's like, bro, I'm down 9 pounds in the last month. Nice. I feel better than I felt in the last 10 years of my life. And we're going to hop on the phone tomorrow morning for me, but night for him because he's in California. Like I've never met him before in my life. I don't know him. Just this random guy who like, you know, saw my page, thought it was cool, asked for advice. And man, he sent me that message and I was like, can I feel like this all the time? Like I've never felt so good.
Yeah.
Cause it's like this guy comes to me struggling and I give him like guidelines, but it's not strict. It's up to him. It's right. His decision at the end of the day, but just through some guidelines, through watching what I'm doing and listening and actually taking what I say, like seriously, like, you know, it's down 10 pounds and it's like, man, I could see myself doing this forever because
I've never felt this good about myself, honestly, like super selfishly.
Well, it's not selfish with the thing you're doing. That's incredible, man.
Yeah. I think that the thing that I like take at, like, it seems like, cause there was the book, Atomic Habits, that I read like a year or so ago. And it's, with any like habit that you want to start doing, like, as long as you can do a little bit here and there, like, it'll start, you'll start doing it more often. You'll be like, oh, I like doing that. So then you'll start doing it more. You're like, oh, I like how that feels. Like, I'm going to keep doing that. Like, as long as I can do a little bit of something that's going to make you a little bit better, you know, like, so, we can all be a little bit better, like you said. And if you can do something, just a little something every day, it goes a long way. So yeah, it's super cool that you do that. But
thank you, man.
Yeah. That's kind of how I felt like when we started doing this podcast. I don't know, TJ, if you felt the same way, but like, I had some like high school guys email us and be like, we really like the podcast, you know, when's the next episode, or like coaches reaching out and just being like, hey, we do this now because, you know, of what you said on the podcast. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, people are listening and like, you know, they appreciate it. So it's kind of weird. You're like, you're just doing it because it's like fun. Like, you're like, I'm interested in this. I'm doing this because, you know, I'm like, I'm interested in it. So whatever, like, I'm just having fun doing it. And they're like listening in and being like, oh man, I'm so thankful for you, or not so like, whatever. They're like, that was cool that you said that. And it's like, oh yeah, man, I was just talking, you know?
Yeah. I remember you guys started this, and I, this is still when we were playing Xbox, but I said to TJ, I was like, man, it's super cool. You guys just like started a podcast. Like, who cares? I feel like everyone does stuff now to be like, I need to do this so I can become like famous, or like, so people can like see me, and like, I could be the next big, like, you know, fill in the blank in whatever industry. And at the end of the day, it's like, you guys are best buds. You want to talk about volleyball. You want to talk about the things you want to talk about. You want to put it online. And if, at least for me, like, if one person gets anything from it, it's like, cool, great.
Yeah.
That's one more person than if we didn't do it.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, if it makes you feel good, and it's like, you know, it's going to like, you know, give you a lot more productivity, give you a little bit more purpose in your life, give you something fun to do, then why not? I feel like everyone's so focused on like external rewards from the things that they do, and they want to be seen and they want to be heard. And at the end of the day, it's like, but this is for me. I like to do it.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think. This is your podcast. Like, this is, and you guys did it because you want to do it. Yeah. You know, like, I made the page because I wanted to do it. And if one person, you know, if only one person ever was like, hey, your page helped me, great. Like, if I didn't do it, then maybe it didn't help. That nobody helps that person. You don't know.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's so important that, you know, you guys found something that you enjoy to do, and you're probably giving off more like wisdom and insight than you think. Cause I feel like for us, it's like, we talk about volleyball and these things at such a high level because we're used to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like, if you listen to it and you're 15 years old and you're kind of just like getting into it, your mind is going to be blown.
Yeah.
Like, man, we were talking about systems, and you're like, oh, what's your system? It's like, what was it? It's like, if I'm a 15-year-old kid, I'm like,
system.
How do I set the ball?
Yeah.
But then they're like, you know, like, they're going to show up, and they're like, yeah, we were talking about, you know, TJ said a really good system is when there's a free ball, the middle rotates to two, and they're just, you're just like, boom, there you go. You just changed some 15-year-old's life.
Yeah.
They're going to coach volleyball forever.
Oh man, when the setter's front row, they always push it to two, and our right side is always out of system because he has to pass that ball. Maybe if we just have the middle do it, like they said.
Yeah. But they're like, oh, wow, the other outside sucks at passing. We can pass two. That's a thing.
Yeah. Right.
And that, just push him out of serve receive and just pass two.
So you're saying we don't need to have three passers? Like, it's not illegal?
Yeah. What is this?
I thought it was illegal. Yeah. But yeah. Man, that's the thing.
I can hit over Kyle Ensing. Nah.
Maybe not that one.
That's special just to that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's just him. You have to be the World League top attacker at least once in your life for that to happen.
Yes, 100%.
Now that we're talking about the youth a little bit, I had a question I wanted to ask to kind of get a little bit of little tidbits for the younger guys that may or may not be listening or whatever. In terms of health, what do you think is like one of the most important tidbits you could give for like the young high school players kind of getting into it? Because you know, there's some guys that have the incredibly fast metabolisms that have no need to worry about anything. And then there's other guys that are starting to kind of get into that process of needing to worry about what they eat. What do you think is a couple of points that you could give them?
Yeah, absolutely. Coming from the camp of not having a super fast metabolism and for sure having to pay attention to what goes in or else I look on, you know, 3 weeks, it's like, ooh. The first thing that I would say is to understand that like we're all different, because I feel like one of the things that comes down to when you start paying attention to your health and your body especially, and I think it could be really detrimental for kids, is to like compare themselves to other people. Yeah. So I would say the first thing is to just like, man, it doesn't matter what that guy looks like, it doesn't matter what that girl looks like, just worry about how you look today and how you can look and feel, you know, if you start taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Because the only person we have to compare ourselves to is who we were yesterday. And I think that's a really, really big thing for young kids to realize.
Is that trademarked?
That being said,
I'm going to put that on my wall if it's not trademarked. That is an incredible quote.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Somebody has it somewhere.
Somebody's got it. Somebody has to have it tattooed on the lower back or something.
Yeah.
Perfect place for inspiration.
The best.
That being said, for those that are, you know, maybe a little bit faster metabolism, people just can't seem to put on weight. If you're looking to put on weight, I would say focus on eating some foods that are a little bit more calorie dense, eating lots of peanut butter, things like that. Like trying to pack on some calories, because at the end of the day, your body, if you have a fast metabolism, burns up energy really, really quickly. That's all that means, is that you burn up energy really, really fast, and we get the energy from food. And if you are looking to put on weight or you're trying to put on some muscle, you're just going to have to eat. You're going to have to eat like it's a job. And I mean, I've never been in this situation and I really wish I could, because it sounds phenomenal. I know it's not, like, I know from like hearing about it, like it's not great. Yeah. But it sounds nice. But I feel like those aren't the people that are worried too much. But if you're someone who seems to be like struggling from like a weight or a performance perspective, and you feel like maybe losing a few pounds might benefit your performance or benefit you mentally, I think a couple really, really easy things to knock off early are to first like worry about your movement in the day. Like, are you just going to practice and then sitting down all day? Mm. Because for the most part, like, we're a completely sedentary like community of people. We all just like sit in front of our computer and then we sit in front of our TV and then we go to bed. Yep. And it's like an hour or two of exercise, like, isn't going to change that. You're not really going to burn up any energy. So I would say finding time throughout the day to move is so, so important and so unbelievably underrated. And I've been telling pretty much everyone I work with, now it's like you have to set a timer for every, you know, for every hour, for like 5 minutes, just to like walk around your desk or like do some squats, do something. Just find time to move. Your body will thank you, your mind will thank you. After that, I say tons and tons and tons of water. For the most part, people are dehydrated. When you are dehydrated, not only does your body not work properly, like strength decreases, you become more lethargic. You don't have all this overall like energy that you should have in the day. You also find yourself being hungrier throughout the day. And if you're someone who's, attaboy, if you're someone who struggles with maybe dropping a couple pounds here and there, finding yourself hungry throughout the day is probably not great. When you're properly hydrated, your body has better signaling to be like, this is actually hunger, or like, hey, I'm thirsty. Hey, I'm bored. The thirsty and the bored and the tired only come in when you're dehydrated. But if you're properly hydrated and you're fueling your body with enough water, then your body is going to be like, okay, this is hunger. I'm actually hungry now. Can you feed me? And the opposite of, or not the opposite, but like the contra of that is your body also does a better job of telling you when you are full, when you are hydrated. So like, I think that's a big one that people just, especially young kids, they just don't drink enough water. Yep. You should be peeing like 8 times a day, honestly. And if you're not, like, that's, you know, it's a good goal to hit.
No.
After that, I would say most people don't eat enough protein in their diet. And it just, you know, I think we eat a lot of, especially kids, we're eating a lot of cereal, lots of breads, lots of pastas. And those things are great. I'm not saying carbs are bad. I think carbs are great. And honestly, as an athlete, you need carbs. But from a, like, a muscle building perspective, from a fat loss perspective, from an overall just like energy perspective, your body's going to do so much better by getting a good amount of protein in each day. It allows you to stay full for longer. It also helps you when you are losing weight. The weight that you lose when you eat adequate protein comes from fat rather than muscle. And if you are not eating adequate protein in a day, you know, over a day, over a week, over a month, you are actually going to start taking muscle because you're, it's just the most expensive tissue we have. And the body's like, well, that's the fuel. We're going to use it. Mm-hmm. And so I think protein intake is a big one. Just trying to find little times in the day, maybe having a small protein shake or a protein bar or an extra piece of chicken, some tuna, just small things here and there. They're going to help you and your like overall body composition will improve. Because you'll start to see fat go instead of muscle. So the muscle almost shows a little bit more and you start to like, you know, look all nice. After that, but then I would also put this as arguably the most important thing for anyone's health is a consistent sleep schedule. Mm. They have done countless studies as far as, you know, in everyone, just basically saying that if sleep could be bottled and sold as a supplement, you could sell it for $1 billion. Because the way the body functions when it's fully rested versus even like 2 hours off of your sleep is vastly different. Your fine motor skills are off. Your ability to reason is off. You are slower, like literally just slower. And if you're an athlete, that's just not good. You don't want to be slower.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a sport you'd want to be slower in, but I can't think of one anymore. And that being said, you also, when you sleep less, your body craves crappier food more. It craves salty food. It craves sweet food. It craves, you know, things like that. And once again, your body's kind of unable to regulate those like hunger hormones, those fullness hormones. So I feel like one of the most important things we can do is, especially as a kid, because I know nobody's getting 8 hours of sleep every day as a kid. And there's no shot. There's no shot.
No. So many, too many things to stimulate.
Why are you exposing me like this, my man? You're exposing the shit out of my childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just way too much stimulus. But if you can find a consistent like wake and sleep cycle, your life can change. Because all of a sudden you wake up and you're just not tired. You're just eyes open. You usually wake up naturally after a few days of going to bed around the same time. Your body slowly starts to get in its back into its circadian rhythm. You start to get into a flow. And it just, if you've ever had like a string, like a week where you were sleeping great, like every day, you've noticed that like those days, you feel a little bit more energized. You feel a little bit more productive. The want to just like sit down and do nothing is gone almost because it just feels like I have all this energy. Why would I waste it sitting down, doing nothing? And your ability to just make good choices goes through the roof when you're sleeping. So I would say some basics, some big rocks to take care of. If you're a young kid, or if you're just someone who's trying to get a little bit better in your life, it's drink a lot of water, move more, eat some more protein, and find a consistent sleep schedule. That means going to bed within a 30-minute range every day. So if you go to bed at 10:30, going to bed between like 10 and 10:30 every day, and is waking up in between like a 30-minute range every day. After about a week of that,
you're just going to fall into this nice rhythm of like, you don't want to mess up your sleep schedule because you wake up and you have a nice morning schedule. You have a nice morning routine. Maybe you go for a walk and you drink some water. You listen to a podcast. I don't know, like the Time to Kill podcast or something.
Pretty good.
Just like randomly off the top of my head.
Something like that.
It's a pretty good one.
Definitely better ones though.
Volleyball related. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's up for debate. Definitely the most handsome group of podcasters.
You guys can't see my cheeks. They're blushing red.
I know it's audio only, but I'm thinking a big marketing move for you guys come 2021 is just plastering your face
on the,
Instagram. Everything.
Instagram.
Ruining people's days by the amount of time they see your face.
Oh, God.
Okay, podcast. We'll listen more if you guys stop posting about yourselves.
Exactly. All right, fine. I've seen your face 47 times today. What do you have to tell me?
Yeah. Listen, Doug.
Yeah, seriously.
yeah, listen to go do something, wake up in the morning, listen to a podcast, do a walk.
Yeah, man. It's about finding those routines. It's about finding things that you enjoy to do. If you like to jump rope, then go and jump rope every day for 5 minutes. I don't care what it is, but it's about finding something that you enjoy, something that's sustainable, something that if you started it today, you could see yourself doing in 10 years. So like, you know, you're never going to regret a good night of sleep. You're just not. You're never going to regret being hydrated. You know, these people, they jump into these things that are unbelievably too hard for them to stick to. Yeah. And after 2 weeks, they fall off the wagon because they decide, okay, it's Monday. And all of a sudden now I eat 15,000 calories, 1500 calories less than I normally eat. I drink 19 bottles of water. I walk 47,000 steps.
Yeah.
And I don't eat carbs anymore. I just don't. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, well, I can't live like this. Yeah. Like, no, you who could?
But then they go the complete opposite and then they overeat all the stuff that they were already eating. They're like, I know the other side is terrible.
It's much better this way. But at the end of the day, it's like, and then, you know, in a month, they go, it's Monday again. Time to try again. It's like, how many times have you tried this? And how many times has it worked? Right. Maybe we find something else. Maybe today is the day you decide, okay, I'm going to go to bed at this time. I'm going to wake up at this time. Great. Just do that for a week and change nothing else. And then after a week, it's like, okay, when I wake up, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have a big glass of water. Okay, great. Do that for a couple of days. And then, all right, after I have a glass of water, I'm going to go for a walk and I'm going to listen to my favorite podcast or book or music. It doesn't matter. And it's like, you build these small habits over time. And it's like, everyone wants everything right now. But it's like in 1 year, if you added like one new thing a week to benefit your life, in 1 year, you're going to be an entirely different person. And it's like, do you remember March 3rd of 2018? Like, no.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you think today is going to be so significant that like it that needs day? To happen by today? You know, like everyone wants instant gratification. And it's just like, bro, start small, start with things that you can do every day that you enjoy that aren't going to uproot your entire life. You know, like if I said, hey, you got to go run for 10 hours today. She's like, no, like I can't do that.
That's the thing. Like, it's like, if it's like, all right, if you do this today, you're going to lose 5 pounds. Like to do that, you wouldn't want to do that more than one day ever. And so it ends up not being worth it. It's like, no, I'm not going to run 10 miles and go to the gym for 4 hours and have 1,000 calories today. Like
you're going to do it once and you're never going to do it again. And you're going to talk about how dieting is trash and it doesn't work because you did it for, you were in a deficit
because you had to do
for 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And I lost no fat. And
you
it
did
was
the thing that would get results immediately. And it was like, no, now it's not sustainable.
Right. And you're just in this endless loop where you want to get better and then it's really hard. And then you go back to sucking and then you want to get better and it's really hard. And then you go back, but you know, there's a better way, but the problem is the better way is much slower.
Yeah. It just takes time.
But I always tell people, it's like, you could do this for the rest of your life. And I don't think people have a good grasp of how long that is, you know? Yeah. And it's like, your life can be better starting today and only ever get better if you start making small changes.
Yeah.
Rather than maybe get better for 1 week and then get much worse. And then it's like,
be better for 3 hours and then right. Back
to normal. And then it was so good the last 12 minutes. I just deserve an ice cream.
I want a milkshake and some chicken nuggies and
I deserve
it. That's my reward. I worked out
so hard. I'm going to McDonald's right now.
Yeah. I had a carrot for lunch. I can totally have McDonald's for dinner.
It's all about balance.
That's true. It is.
All right, man.
Thank you, man. That was incredible. I know you're not charging people, but every one of my listeners, my Venmo is charging for this guy's content he just dropped on you guys.
Yeah, we're charging for this for sure.
Oh man, thank you for taking some time out of your day and joining us up here and just kind of shooting the shit for a little bit. It was incredible,
man. This was awesome. Super kill some fun. Time really ha- oh kill some time a time to kill
yeah
just like, you know, stoked you guys reached out. Happy to be on the podcast. Very exciting. Best of luck moving forward.
Thank you.
And just keep creating stuff that you you like to create, and you know, those who get benefit from it will watch and listen and pay attention. That's all that matters.
You are full of good vibes.
All that matters.
Holy cow.
I try, man. I used to not be very positive in my life. So I've tried to flip the script as is it Drake? I don't even know who sings that song.
I don't know either.
Flip it, you know,
Shakespeare,
one of those pop
flip a switch.
Yeah, yeah. Wilhelm Shakespeare. You know, yeah, it's close enough.
Drake Shakespeare.
Yes, I think that's his middle name, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, man, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us and talk some volleyball and talk some just stuff to be a little bit better every day. I love it.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you guys.
It in the gym all the time, but we can take it outside of the gym too. You know, just
absolutely.
You know, what are you doing when you wake up? It's just as important as the reps you get in volleyball. So.
Absolutely.
It's more important. It's probably way, way, way more important. It's your health.
You spend a lot more time not playing volleyball and not working out than you do playing volleyball and working out. So those hours count and they matter. And you can either get a lot better in that time or a lot worse. And honestly, the decision is up to each and every one of you listeners out there. So yeah.
Mark Dunphy said it. You're either getting better or you're getting worse.
Either first or last.
Oh, Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby, man. Ricky Bobby and Marv Dunphy.
That was my senior quote. Yeah. In high school.
Oh, man.
If you're not first, you're last.
Nice. All right, man. Well, you have an awesome rest of your night.
Oh, yeah. It's bedtime.
Yeah, it's bedtime. So, and we'll see you soon. And it is good to have you.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you guys soon.